Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Today is our special guest day, where we will hear from a friend in the ministry who will share their insight and stories on truth in this chaotic world. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, welcome, everybody. This is Guest Thursday, and this is actually now part three we have with David Collum. It's been exciting, part one to, learn his story of coming to Christ, what he did as an executive with the nuclear plant and GE, became a part-time Episcopal priest and then a full-time Episcopal priest, and you wind up... For as an executive, you were 50 people in the Catskills. God says, I got a few things to show you there, what that means. And you said it. It's really interesting to me. I want to show you how to love. And that was a beautiful experience. And then you wind up being the, going down and heading up the cathedral, the Episcopal Cathedral in Albany, when they were having the middle of their, kind of split between definition of marriage. You were there to present the truth. They allowed you to do that, which is kind of wonderful. And then ultimately you had to leave that. And then you get invited to head up this ministry called Pocket Testament, which you did. And you've been doing that, you said, now for 8 years, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And great stories of the impact of that, the app, and people, starting to have a heart for following Jesus. So tell us, as you then learned about abiding and what that means to you as you... moved to New Hampshire to be around grandchildren and continue in the ministry. Tell us, what role that played and how that progressed with you and your personal walk with God.
Yeah, thank you. It's good to be with you all again. And so the story of me getting to an abiding retreat is one of reluctance. So before I moved to New Hampshire, I was in upstate New York, and I'm a member of C12, and C12 would always encourage these abiding retreats. My C12 chair, Chuck Epen, just was always talking about it. And so I managed to not go on one the entire time I lived in New York. So then I moved to New Hampshire, and before I moved to New Hampshire, we were at a conference presenting the Pocket Testament League, and right next door was the abiding booth. And yeah. Joel Gunn's wife, I'm trying to think her first name.
Christina. Yeah.
Christina's there, or she's talking to Beth about this thing. And so now I'm in New Hampshire. I'm like an hour away from where the retreat is. So I don't have the excuse of it's just too far to drive. We're literally an hour from this beautiful facility where the retreat's held, sometimes in New Hampshire. And I come home and say, hey, they want me to go on this abiding retreat again. I'm just confirming, right? We're not going. She said, oh no, I think it'd be great to go. And I'm like, really? And I went, and the first thing I would say is it was a fantastic experience. And sometimes it's talked about as a marriage retreat. Sometimes people present it that way because you go with your wife because you want us to abide together, which is critical. But the first part of the retreat is just like, where are you with the Lord? Like, yeah. It's the one-on-one. Because if this isn't good, then this isn't going to be good.
That's right.
And I didn't have that perspective. And so... So I went on the retreat, and so the powerful thing about the retreat is there's two things going on. One is I'm learning about abiding for, and us moving to New Hampshire to be closer to our kids, to think we're going to have this kind of, I don't know, everything's going to be picture perfect because, as grandparents, the reality is we've been moved to New Hampshire by God because we need to be close to one of our sons because the world's about to blow up. So the verse that I'm working on is trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths, right? Now, do not be wise in your own eyes. And I'm meditating on this verse because we talked about my time at the cathedral. One of the things I did is the Lord will bring me someplace, and then I will take away from him his responsibility, and I'll decide to do it all by myself.
Yeah.
Right. Thanks, Father. I got this.
Yeah, right. I got this. Yeah.
I did that at the cathedral, and it darn near killed me. Just took all that responsibility and was not abiding with him. And so this, I'm 5 years in. The story of the Pocket Testament is trying to build the build it up to where it can be organizationally strong enough to do, to be available for what God might want us to do. We want to be available instead of getting ahead of him. And so there's a lot of responsibility. I'm feeling a lot of pressure. And I've just got in my mind, like, David, you cannot get ahead of God on this. Do not do what you did at the cathedral. And then abiding gets introduced to me, which really forces you to wait on him. And so I get to this verse and it's like, trust in the Lord with all your heart. I'm like, okay, well, let's inventory my heart. Which parts am I not trusting? Man, there were a lot of parts I wasn't trusting. So I spent a year in that verse. And there's a whole bunch of things that the Lord showed me about myself. But the thing that happened with my son was really serious. He had two children he had come to faith, but was again trying to do things in his own strength, looking like his father, and things are blowing up and it's not going well with the children's mom and the two kids. And he's just, and he it's just falling apart. And I'm sitting here saying, you know, there's nothing I can do to fix this. And I'm abiding in this verse about trust. And literally I'm pouring my heart out saying, Lord, we trust in you. We trust in you. That's all we got. All we've got is we trust in you. And so the process is, for a year we go through this and the Lord just does some miraculous things. He brought some people into my son's life. We're brand new in New Hampshire, brought some people in my son's life. And my daughter-in-law's life, that things are restored. There's it's remarkable to see, but it took a year. And like, we're literally thinking like this could go to the point where these kids, the grandkids are living with us, you know, just to hear those stories. So it was not theoretical, Rich.
Yes.
It was not theoretical. And it was bring you down to just the base of like, okay, this situation you can't fix. And so what comes out of that is, you know, a year of trust, of abiding in those verses, going all over the place, days when you're just, when it's dark and you're frustrated. But I can remember that's what my prayer was. Lord, we trust in you. I mean, just, I think 2 weeks ago, my wife and I were driving down someplace and we were praying together as we're driving. And she says, just, and it just hits me like a ton of bricks. She says in her prayers, she's closing her prayers. And she says, Father, we just thank you. And we depend on your promises. And I thought to myself,
That's beautiful.
We depend on his promises. We do. He will make straight my paths. The other thing, so that was, it's just been very powerful for me. The other thing that it helps me do is I tend to critique myself. So if you think about that verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart, et cetera, he will make straight your paths. That's looking forward.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So again, that's the, do you receive the grace, David? Because I still, you know, you heard my story on part one. That stuff, that there's a residue that just kind of sticks around sometimes that you're trying to get out of yourself. And I just like, we just got to keep moving forward and following him. So yeah, abiding has been, and I wasn't a journaler before that. I always heard about it. And the process of listening and then kind of look at that you teach in abiding and then cross-referencing to a couple of times to go to verses, take you amazing places in the scripture.
Can you share a little more just about that for you, what it looks like? You know, everybody, things look a little different in how they spend their time with Jesus and how they spend abiding, but you just described a year-long time frame of really staying in one passage and then letting God lead you as he revealed different parts of your heart that you weren't trusting him in. And he reached in to heal and show you who he was and his faithfulness and worthiness to be depended on. What does like your typical time, like what does your time look like in the Word? Give it to us as a picture for people.
Well, thanks for that question. The fundamental premise, Rich and his lovely wife, I'm trying to remember her name. Is it Linda?
Linda, yes. Linda.
And it was like, the question is it settled? Or another question is, do you believe it?
Right.
And so we did a Zoom call, and those are the two questions. That's why I'm on these verses. Like,
I love it.
And so, so what it looks like for me is writing out the verse and verses, which slow me down, which cause me to see words. Mm-hmm. And so, which, you know, quite frankly, I'm literally a guy that can type faster than I can write. My writing's not very good, but I'm like, okay, I'm going to write this down. And so I've actually memorized more verses in the last year. Now, you're talking to a guy who's a pastor for 12 years, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I've memorized more verses in the last year than I think I have in recent any years before that. Mm-hmm. And it comes from writing the verses down.
Right.
And then you'll, for some reason, you'll just, as you're writing that phrase, you'll think about all my heart. And so in all your ways, acknowledge him. Well, what are my ways? How am I acknowledging God? Where am I not acknowledging God? Because it says in all my ways, acknowledge him, right? And so I kind of look at that. And so then when you have a cross-reference Bible, right, it'll say, it'll have like 12 cross-references, but they're for the different pieces of that. Mm-hmm. And so you go to that cross-reference and you look those up, and then you might go again. And it takes you crazy places. So one of the places it took me during the course of the year, I'm not quite sure exactly how I got there, and I'd be upset, and I'd be like, why am I upset about this? And it's like, well, because I worked really hard on this and it didn't work out. And I'm like, okay, so, but why are you angry? And it took me to Isaiah, where it talked about where I was just giving people too much power. It was that old General Electric. Did I get the performance appraisal and say I was doing a good job? And when I didn't, I'd get upset about it. And I'm like, I'm just looking at these verses. And they're just really challenging me to, Israel had been saved by the Lord. This is Isaiah 45, with an everlasting salvation. You will not be put to shame or humiliated. David, do you believe that? Do you believe that you're not going to be humiliated? Why are you worried about your standing before men? Why are you upset about this? Right. And why are you, and so that, really, and that goes to that performance thing, mm-hmm. Man, that was in me deep. And I still have to memorize and quote those verses and kind of rebuke when my mind goes there. So it goes on in Isaiah 51. So this is all through the cross-reference. Listen to me. So in my journal, I'm like, listen to me. It's kind of like, like grabbing my shoulders, like, hey, knucklehead, listen to me. You who know righteousness, right? And that's Jesus. If you know righteousness, you know Jesus. A people in whose heart is my law, do not fear the reproach of man, nor be dismayed at their reviling. Are you listening, David? Because it says, listen to me, right? So that's the process I go through. Then one of the other processes I've been through was the, I'm like, okay, Lord, well, how do I do that? How do I do that? I ended up in Ephesians 4 and 2 Corinthians, right? Put on the new self. And so, like, okay, how am I going to do that? So it really becomes for me like, all right, this is true. How am I going to do this? Right. And sometimes you'll go to another verse, it'll show you. And sometimes you'll look at that because the Ephesians verse goes on talking about put on a new self, says, and do not sin in your anger. Right.
Right. Be angry and do not sin. Yeah.
So then you're like, okay, I got to deal with that. I got to really deal with that. So that took me to a whole bunch of stuff on just anger. So yeah, I would say it's been the number of places you go. And I think, yeah, it has to be a degree of, there's a process you go through, which sometimes people can make too mechanical. I mean, it's gotta be, for me, you gotta follow the process, but you've gotta be listening and just being like real with yourself. And it's just you and the Lord, right? So you could, like, the fact that I'm talking to you about the fact that I have issues with anger, I probably wouldn't have done that before I've been in the abiding process, because that's an embarrassing thing to tell people. Oh yeah, I struggle with anger, or I struggle with this, or I struggle with that. But you know, that's how, by testifying to what God's doing, that's how we help one another. But you do have to be real as you're looking at that. Like, so I think writing the verses out slows me down. Like, I just think it's hysterical. Like, listen to me, I underline it. I was like, I've read Isaiah. I don't know how many times I've taken Old Testament courses on Isaiah, right? But here I am, you know, in my 60s, and this verse is just like, David, you know, do you believe it? Mm-hmm. Do you believe it? Are you living like you believe it? And yeah. I want to say yes, but I'm like, you know, yes, Lord, help my unbelief.
Right, right. Yeah. And so as you describe, you know, because you made a statement, I've been in this for a year. That's what it looks like, is you're let God walk you into places like, you know, what, hey, David, you know what it means to trust me? and lean not on your own understanding, I want to deal with something inside of you that will lead you to learn how to trust and not lean on your understanding. It has to do with anger. And then here's what's so beautiful, and I want to help everybody understand that, is that you are willing to go there. Okay, now let's talk about that. Is you are willing to go there. God's going to do something here. And you remember, it's a dialogue. So you said, you know, God says, well, do you believe this? Not really. Okay, well, walk with me and I'm going to show you. And then you said, okay, in order for me to fulfill this, how does it work? Because it's very practical. And God said, well, let me show you that. And you've been in it, but you've been walking down a path that you interacted with, you know, and God says, hey, listen to me. And then he makes a statement. Do you believe this? How does this work? You're enjoying it. How does that piece of it work for you so that you do say, I'll just keep going where you take me? And interesting enough, because you said the problem with anger is that you're still somewhat performance driven and you don't like it when you don't able to succeed and people don't appreciate it. And he says, well, even with that, I got to pull that out of you. That even in this abiding, I don't want you to get to performance. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So talk about the receiving part of it, you know, and by the way, why are you willing to receive it and stay with it day after day?
And yeah, adding to that question, why are you willing to receive it and stay with it? And like Rich and I can sense your joy and excitement in what he's doing in it.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're dreading this whole thing that he's doing in you. You're enjoying the walk with him, it sounds like. So talk about that a little bit too.
Yeah. So I think I'll start with that. And that kind of works backward because at some point I'm just in conversation with him. I'm sitting in the morning, but the neighbor said to my wife, sometimes your husband's sitting in his chair at 4 a.m. in the morning with the light on. She's like, well, as you get older, you get up earlier. That's what I just say. So, anyway. So I guess a few things, right? You've heard about the ministry and my heart for everyone. I mean, talk about being performance oriented. And so I kind of learned, like, David, your desire to do something and to take it away from God. So point one, he is the sovereign God of the universe. He does not need the pocket testimony. Right, he does not need us. He allows us to participate in the family business, right? Sons and daughters, he lets us participate. So thank you, Father, for doing that. So I just need to chill. And the reality is, as I say this to my staff and to other people, I'm like, okay, because people will be saying, like, what's God want me to do with my business? And how are we going to do this ministry and all this? Like, and I'll sit and listen. And this is a byproduct of the abiding retreat. I said, gang, I am really excited that you're wrestling with this and you want to do more for our Father. I think this is more about God working in you than you working for God. So C.S. Lewis writes that, you know, he quotes Hebrews in a rather derogatory way. He says, this is C.S. Lewis. He says, God does not discipline the bastards. He disciplines the sons and daughters. God is interested in making sons and daughters. Mm. That's right now. He gives us this work, the kind of, you know, learn by doing, right? You learn by doing, not by, and so I have to get that right in my head. And so, all right, Father, I really don't want to be angry anymore. I have to be sick of this sin to the point where I'm like, and I can't, and there's, you know, and it's big enough, like, I can't get, I'm not going to do this. You are. Mm-hmm. And I sit with him. I abide with him. Usually, right? And I just sit, like, just kind of show me. And I know it's going to be a long walk, but I don't want this anymore. And I trust you that, you know, you're going to lead me. And it's, you know, it's not going to be a straight line. It's going to be up and down. But I just, do I really? He wants me to not be angry. He wants that, you know, whatever that is for all of us. He wants us to not be prideful, to not be, you know, whatever those things are, that he's, and I just had this, Beth was having this conversation from her women's Bible study. And, this woman shared with her how she was reflecting on her sin nature. And she's like, you know, I thought I really wasn't a sinner anymore. And then the Lord started revealing more to me. And my wife's picture is like, it's like an onion. And when you get to the smaller part, those things are harder to get out and you have to want them out.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so part of that abiding process is he's going to help us with the things that we're struggling with, but he's not done. Right. Mm-hmm. He wants all of us. It's not like I'm going to, you know, that's the other thing. It's like, oh, I'm going to abide with the Lord and that's good because I'm good now, Lord.
Like, see you later.
Done. Yeah. He's not done. He's not done.
Thankfully, and, right?
Thankfully. And you have to just be willing to say, all right, you know, he's the, all, you know, all the scriptures that come alive in your mind when you think about it, he is the potter and I'm the clay. Hmm. Right. So, all right. What next has to be molded?
Yeah.
And so one of the byproducts of this trust process and this whole year is I now have a much better relationship with my adult sons.
Yes.
Because I had to learn how do I relate to them as adult men versus dad who wants to fix this. Because they're in their 40s. I'm not fixing this. But they're adults, right? Mm-hmm. And so I want them to know I love them. And so, and yet, you know, I think parents, we struggle with this with our kids as they become adults. Like, I want them to know I love them. And that cannot be predicated on I agree with everything they do.
Right.
Because I don't.
Yeah.
But they're used to, as in the parent-child relationship versus the adult-to-adult relationship, right? We're trying to get them to do things and discipline them. And there's that whole performance thing that goes on. But making that transition, literally looking at my sons and letting them know that. And one man said to me, he goes, have you ever blessed your son? Have you ever just grabbed him and blessed him?
Mm.
And I'd never done that. And I've done that to my sons. And they were kind of like, what's going on? I said, I want you to know I bless you.
Mm.
I love you. Just try to. And of course, I've been through a divorce. They've been through a divorce, right? So there's a lot of baggage there that we're trying to come through that the Lord's trying to restore and repair. And, you know, that comes from this year-long journey where he takes me down this road. Like, well, why are you angry at your son? Because he performed. Well, David, I'm not angry at you. You're a knucklehead, right? But I love you. I'm always here for you. Do they know that you love them? Right. I mean, it's just, you end up having these conversations with your father. So I think the answer to your question is, you know, for me, it's very conversational. It's very conversational. So that's, you know, and so imagine having a friend that you've had a conversation with every day and 2 days go by and you haven't talked to them. Right. So it's no longer this the process is how I do it, but I don't even think about that anymore.
Right. Right.
I want to have a conversation.
Yeah.
So I pick up my journal and say, where'd the conversation leave off?
Yeah.
Right. That's my journal helps me. Like, where's the conversation lead off?
Yeah. And the one thing that we can, we've observed now in three sessions, you have great joy. Why does that opportunity to walk with God bring you great joy while, by the way, you're being transformed?
So I think for me, I mean, God is infinite. And yet in the person of Jesus, I mean, he loves me, like loves David. And so that blows my mind.
Yeah.
And so I think it comes back to Jesus. It comes back to that personal relationship that, you know, people we talk about, but just coming back that and knowing that he wants the best for me, you know, he does want the best for me. And so I just need to really trust and that he'll talk with me. Rich, the whole John 15 thing that you base this on, right? If I sit with him, he will produce the fruit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so I think the reason it brings joy is because in some ways I'm trying to let go of, I'm not producing the fruit.
I get to, and there's freedom in that, right?
Yeah, there is, right? But you get to see it, right? Mm-hmm. And that's his grace. I expect 3 years from, because one of the things I've observed, you know, is that when you're a new Christian, you get to see some things very quickly. That's his grace to let you know, like, yeah, I'm here. Yep, this is happening. Yep, guess what? Next year, you're not going to see as much, right? You're going to have to be like Abraham and wait 25 years, you know. So I expect that, but I think it's part of that is just that's the maturation process that he's doing in us.
Yeah.
Your question makes me think, well, why wouldn't I want that?
Yeah. Why not?
Like, why? Because I've done the alternative and it's exhausting. I am so far from arriving. So you're getting the highlights of this, you know, there's certainly been days I haven't done it. And there's certainly been times I, you know, still fall into the holes I fall into. I have a faster way back.
Yes.
I have a faster way back.
I love that.
And because we are, I'm, you know, far from perfect, but I'm like, okay, David, You know these things are true. You've written them down. You've said you believe them. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the other thing in terms of as he takes us down all these little roads we go down, right? As we're writing the scripture down. I mean, literally the number of times I'm flipping back through my journal to find that day when I had that epiphany, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've done that.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, Heavenly Father, we pray over David right now. We just pray this joy will continue just because he's walking with you. And he said it, it's because you love him. I pray that he receives that love, that he enjoys the walk, that he enjoys receiving the fruit because you're doing the fruit. And I pray for he and Beth and the ministry, but his children, the relationship he's developing, his own freedom and joy that's coming. We're just excited for what's next. And we'll have him back to share more. But we're honored to see, experience the joy that is coming into his life, and he's given it away. And we praise you now and pray blessing over him in Christ's name. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, David, thank you so much for joining us. This has been just a treat. You know, such a treat that we added a third episode because there was so much more to still talk about. But the way you express your faith has just been beautiful. And thank you just for the authenticity even. I think that makes it so relatable to our listeners to hear how God is working in you personally in sanctification too. So thanks for sharing that. If you have questions from today's broadcast, be sure to send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep, we'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.